How's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another edition of It's Brewing at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. Today, I'm your host, John Kaplan, and we are joined by freshman right-handed pitcher Michael Sine, who's gotten off to an incredible start this season with a sub-1 ERA and nearly 47 innings pitched. He's been named to American Conference Pitcher of the Week 2 weeks running. And also has experience with the Czech national team. Michael, we appreciate you joining us. How's it going today?
Of course, everything's going great today. How are you?
We're doing all right, man. So listen, you've gotten off to a really good start here early in your freshman year. Go ahead and tell me, what's that experience been like so far?
Freshman year has been quite a thrill so far. All of fall, it was just me trying to learn the groove of our coaches, the entire team. And now in the season, it feels like such a great culture. And I mean, the team's great. We have lots of fun, and I'm just enjoying it out here.
Yeah, it looks like you guys are having fun out there, man. I mean, what, 21-4 now, I believe. You guys are killing it across the board. I want to talk to you a little bit more about your Czech national experience. So you've been involved now with the Czech national team. How did that opportunity first come about, and what's the connection there?
So I believe I was around 15 years old, probably 14, and I went to Czech like every other 2 years for vacation to see my family there, and I just needed to do some summer work. So I was on the Scorpions, and I was missing out about a month, and I just needed to like stay in my groove for the summer, and I decided to play for a local team there. And it turned out to be a great experience. I had lots of coaches watching me since I'm American, and it's like something they rarely get. And we went out for tournaments, and turns out there was a U15 coach, I'm pretty sure, for national team, and he asked me to play after we just lost in the semifinals, unfortunately. But I was outstanding to them, as they said, and would love to have me play for them, but I couldn't. I had to go back for the travel ball team, and so since I go every 2 years, I keep getting invites to national teams like the U18 now, since it's 2 years later. And the reason why I could play on the team is I got family there, and I have a dual citizenship, which you have to get that in order to play. So it was just like every other 2 years we went and kept getting invited to the U18, the U23, and then now the men's national team.
That's incredible. They had a pretty cool story in the World Baseball Classic. I forget the pitcher's name. You could probably tell me better than I can recall, but I think he was like he works in like IT or something like that, and he just comes out and just absolutely shoves. Also, how much family do you still have in the chat?
I believe it's my uncle, aunt, cousin, and my two grandparents from my mother's side.
Tell me, what's your favorite part about your home country?
The environment. We're away from the city a little bit, so we got like mountains around us. So we got this beautiful weather, beautiful fields. We see animals. It's so beautiful. But we also have this really big mountain like in our view, and I look at it every day just to like remind myself how beautiful this place is.
Yeah, being I grew up in Florida, Orlando, just like you, and I used to think that the ocean was my favorite place in the world until I saw my first mountain. So that's definitely relatable. Did you say you played for Orlando Scorpions too?
I did.
That's awesome, dude. A lot of my boys growing up played for the Scorpions. That's a really good travel ball team. So, have any moments playing for the junior national team or the national team really stood out to you so far? And also, and seeing the exposure that Czech national team just got in the World Baseball Classic, the end result wasn't what they wanted, but it shows that, that they're really concentrating on baseball out there. So it's good to see kind of a global movement for baseball, the sport that we grew up loving. Do you have any goals in mind for the near and distant future with Czech national team? And also, what moments have stood out thus far?
So goals first. I always plan to play with the Czech national team for any qualifying games, exhibition games, and even the WBC. Hopefully for the Olympic Games we could get in. Now for the standout, I want to say Japan. It was my junior year of high school fall, and I got asked to play for the national team, the men's, for the first time. I was very excited. We went to Taiwan first and then Japan. I had 6 innings total with 0 runs and I believe 2 hits total in 6 innings. So that was like really a thrill for me. I was just like really nervous because it's like Japan team and then I'm still in high school, so it's like a big difference. And my goal during those games were just throw strikes and attack the hitters. Let's see what they could do with it. Turns out I got great defense behind me. So it was just like really exciting.
Seems like that's a pretty common trend for you, bud. Just dotting the zone, throwing strikes, and putting up zeros. How does playing internationally compare to what you've seen here in the US, if at all?
Internationally, it's a whole lot different. European countries, since baseball isn't that big, but now it's getting there. There wasn't as much competition as there was in the US or as my travel ball team, the Scorps. But as the years grew on, I believe it was like 8 to 10 years now, ever since like my first invitation from U15, probably 8 years. And it's just grew so much. There were more American players now being asked for international teams. And so I would meet them like overseas and play them. And it was getting real tough. Not real tough, but it was getting more competitive. Like in the fall where I went to Netherlands for the European Baseball Championship, there were teams like Italy who was really strong even without their minor league players or major league players, and that really amazed me. And I looked at their roster, they got some guys that did come from minor leagues, and I was pretty amazed about the competition that grew.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a good thing to see though, what was your opinion on the World Baseball Classic this year? Did you get to tune in?
Yeah, of course. Opinion. I thought it was great. Great to watch. Every game was exciting. USA versus Dominican Republic. It was exciting. Venezuela versus USA. That was also very exciting too. It was a definitely heart-racing game, but I love to watch.
I would still, this is just me personally, and it's kind of always been that way across the board. I would still like to see, more American involvement because you look at these other countries and everyone is going there, and they're going there with pride for their countries. But it's like because of how big the MLB is here, I know some agents aren't allowing their players to go into the World Baseball Classic. It's like part of their contracts and stuff like that. Because I mean, you saw gruesome injuries like you saw with what's his name, the closer for he was closer for the Mets last year, Edwin
Diaz.
Diaz. Thank you. Yeah, he's one of my favorites too. My wife would kill me because she's a big Mets fan, even though he's not a Met anymore. I would just like to see us put our best out there because personally, as an American, we're a little biased, right? But I just don't think we would get touched if we were to get, all of our best players across the board. But nonetheless, we're starting to see more involvement, and I think that's a good sign. So we're gonna shift gears here and talk about your early college years, recruiting and things like that. So, how did your recruiting process play out, and what made USF the right fit for you?
So, junior year, I was committed to Florida and then got decode. And then I was just looking for a place to go, place to play. I knew I would play at, and USF was really the biggest choice for me. And I got an offer from them before, so I know like this, and it's in Florida too. So I like the state. I like to play in it. I wouldn't mind going out, but USF showed me the coaches that they can really help me out here, and they can. They got like really good knowledge, and I love to play for coaches who are like really good, have really good ball skills and everything like that.
Who would you, all right, so I'm adding a little bit onto this question. So when did you know that USF was the place that you wanted to be? And to be would be who was it that really locked it in for you? You know, because I'm a people person, I connect with people, and for me it would have been all about that connection with, you know, whoever was trying to recruit me. So
Right.
who would you say that person was for you?
I would say Coach Schlereth, pitching coach, of course. He was in the big leagues, and I was like instantly like drawn to that because I would love to like grow knowledge based on where he came from. So I would just love that. That's why I chose here.
Interviewing Coach Schlereth was probably one of my favorite interviews to date. If not, you know, I'd be just for that same reason. I'm a huge Texas Rangers fan, so when he got to play for Detroit Tigers back in like the 2010 to 2012 era, and when it felt like we were just playing them every year in the ALCS back when Rangers put together a competitive ball club. But no, and his connection with Mark Schlereth and all the stories that he had to tell, it was just honestly, it was just really, really cool. So what would you say is your the biggest adjustment that you've had to make from high school to college?
Biggest adjustment was from throwing down the middle to dotting every location. It took lots of time in the fall to perfect our location, even though it's not perfect, it's still above average, and that was just the biggest change from going to high school into college.
What kind of drills have you been working on to work on location like that? Because it seems as though you've never thrown down the middle in your life because you're just painting black. You know, it's really impressive to see because one thing that I focused on as a pitcher, I never threw real hard. You know, I probably topped out at 85, you know, hence why I'm interviewing you. But throwing strikes was like a huge thing for me, and I know that's a huge thing for Coach Hannah's as well. So was there anything in particular that really, really helped you turn that corner?
Schlereth, Coach Schlereth just gave us the idea of doing the best we can in catch play, make sure we're throwing hip to hip, make sure we're getting our extension out front, make sure we're getting everything connected. Then we got flat grounds after catch play, making sure we also get those outside pitches, glove side. And then on the mound, it's nice and loose, not too much. Just getting the feel for it right before we go into like 70% intensity, 80% intensity in the bullpen. So that's what really helped me on like my location.
That's good to hear. So what would you say if there's anything that you could pinpoint, you know, what has allowed you to come in and have the success that you've had right out of the gate? You know, if there's any sort of quality or attribute that you could point out, what would you say that is?
So like I said, just location. Coach Hannes, like you also said, just values location, execution. That's really all we need. It doesn't matter about the velo. We just want execution and be able to attack hitters. So, and I was able to do that. That's how I got the role.
How much of a velo jump have you seen in the in recent years from, let's say, when your recruiting really picked up at junior year to now?
Velo, it has gone down a little bit just because high school and college is a lot different. We throw every day here in high school. A starter, you would take about like 4 days off a week, just because we didn't have like the proper arm care and all that stuff. But junior year, I was sitting 90 to 91, topping a two once in a while. And then senior year, I jumped from 91, 92 to 92 to 94, topping a five. And then coming here, obviously, I'm at a topping a two, sitting 89, 91.
Okay, so that's interesting because the guys we don't always have the gun when we're watching the game. We don't always see the clock up there. But I've been kind of surprised by some of the numbers that we were seeing, specifically with pitchers like you with Sutton. It just looks harder. And we were thinking that the clock might have been a little bit off, but with you saying 89 to 91, that kind of tracks. That's really interesting that you said that the velocity went down. And it sounds like that's sort of a conscious thing for you. Are you just you kind of are leaving a little bit in the tank? You're sacrificing, throwing it all out there, for location and making sure that you do the other things correct. And it's that's really interesting. So we're going to move on here. So go ahead and walk us through your pitch mix. I if I'm not mistaken, it looks like you've got fastball. You really love that tight slider, and you mix in a changeup as well. Is that correct?
Correct.
Awesome. Explain how you like to use those together. Because me personally, I like to pitch backwards, but I never had your velocity, so I was throwing curveballs and fastball counts and trying to keep hitters off balance. What's your MO on the mound?
First pitch is always attack pitch. You don't want to like dot it up first, like perfectly. You just want to see where his weak spot is first, and then I would probably go to my changeup since it's like rarely used. But in a 1-1 count, if I get a ball, then I would just like to throw sliders inside, and then probably set up fastball outside. If I miss that one, then a slider outside. It's my philosophy is just tunneling. Tunnel's a big thing to me. I've done it all of high school. I've kind of just like guessed all the pitches in my head, right, what the coach is going to call. So I've kind of like grown into that and just tunneling and making sure what my best pitch is, I gotta throw perfectly in the zone or in the corner.
And real quick, just for the listeners that may not know what tunneling means, can you go ahead and explain what that means, bud?
So tunneling is when you throw a fastball, let's say up and out, top right corner to a lefty. You can use a curveball or a slider throwing in that same exact spot in the top right corner and making it break down in the middle or break down to the bottom side, to the left side of the lefty. So yes.
Who also used tunneling quite a bit is, in my opinion, the best pitcher probably of all time, Greg Maddux. He used to say, he used to say, if you haven't thrown a pitch there and you miss there on purpose, it's a wasted pitch, right? Because their eyes weren't there. He was just a magician and so freaking smart on the mound. It was I love watching his interviews. That's funny that you say that, but I appreciate that explanation for the viewers. Your fastball, it's got a lot of ride and it plays really well up in the zone. And traditionally the fastballs that play better up in the zone are those ones that are topping 96, 97, but yours are, you're still sitting lower 90s. So explain, how is that something that you have made work for you?
Just been right. I got about 25 to 2600 RPMs on my fastball average.
That's great.
So if I could just get it right on a line on top of the zone, make it go up a little bit more, that just deceives the eye of the batter. So I feel like spin rate plays a big role in that, even with low velocity.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call that low velocity, but I mean, I wouldn't know what to do with a 91 mile per hour fastball, but that's just me. Are there any pitches that you know that you're currently trying to add to the bag right now, or do you kind of let that, do you work on new pitches in the fall and then focus on what's in the bag right now?
So right now, they are telling me not to create any new pitches, but definitely in the fall, a cutter and probably a curveball since I'm a supination kind of guy.
Okay.
So that would probably be better for me instead of having a three pitch mix where hitters are only looking for those three when I can have more.
So, you say that your changeup is rarely used. How do you go about attacking lefties so well? Do you establish that inner half early, or do you just attack the outer half? Do you depend on the background you get on these hitters, the research and knowing where their weak spots are? How do you attack lefties versus righties?
It's all about the research. Whatever our coaches have gathered up. Usually, I'm more of a throwing it outside to them. But if we got research about like them missing inside or weak ground balls in the inside corner, then I would just throw it there and it'll work.
All right. And talk to us a little bit more about the slider, man, because that thing just has such late tight bite, and it's just something that I could sit there and watch on repeat over and over and over again. But I'm a little bit of a sicko. Tell me what makes your slider most effective? Is it the shape, velocity, or how it plays off of the fastball?
I believe it's all of it. When I was younger, like about freshman year of high school, I always had this idea or advice from my pitching coach that you throw your slider like a fastball and that would play off your fastball. So when you try that, you would gain that velocity. The shape would be less, but it's still tight enough for them to probably think it's a fastball.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, your slider is sitting, 82 to 84, and it's got really good shape, and it's been a very, very competitive pitch. So, what we're gonna move towards, just like your career a little bit more here. I don't care if it was your first home run when you were six, or if it was a game here at USF. What would you say has been your most memorable baseball moment or baseball game in your young career so far?
I got two. One from my senior year opening home game. I had, I believe, a complete game, 15 strikeouts, no hitter, and also the going back to Japan, that one.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be on there. Dang, man, a no hitter. Wow. Who was that against?
I think it was Lake Mineola. We always lost to them in the district champ.
Okay. Did you ever play Winter Springs?
I have.
Have you? Okay. That's where I went to high school. Very cool. So let's talk about some of the team culture, and we're going to loosen it up here a little bit. What has it been like playing for Coach Hannes? What stands out about him? I know it stands out to me. He's just a great coach, but I'd like to hear it from a player's perspective. What would you say really stands out playing for him?
Just the ability to learn from mistakes, making sure we understand what the assignment they give us. He's really all about perfection, but if you don't get it down, then obviously he's gonna like get on to you about that, but it's never like never bad coming from him. It's always good. He's a really good coach.
Yeah, so a few pillars that I really learned early on from him in our interviewing of coach was, one of them that I really liked was playing for the guys on your island. he really got rid of that the me guy off of the USF team. These guys were playing for themselves and not for the team. That's one thing that I really liked. But he also a new one this year was playing mad. What has he tried to integrate with playing mad, with not just with pitching, but the whole team?
I believe playing mad, I think, is like we don't want to lose like any kind of battle we're into, like in a game. Play like it's our last game, but play like everything means to us, like we have everything to lose, but I think that's what it means to him, so.
For sure. Another one I liked from him, as you can tell, I'm a big fan of Coach Hannes, was the moment you stop training like the underdog is the moment that you're going to start getting your butt whooped. And that was something that really resonated with me. Now, do you keep it pretty composed on the mound? I was kind of a hothead, like I played with a lot of emotion, and it probably was more of a detriment. So it's good to see you keeping it so locked in up there. But I have seen some prolonged eye contact after a strikeout, so I know you've got that fire inside. Would you say that you use playing mad on the mound frequently, or do you try to keep those emotions in check?
I'm more like having it, everything inside of my head without showing emotion. I do get frustrated sometimes. I do like to play mad. I like to play crazy. But most important thing is whenever guys look at you, anyone, you just got to keep it composed up there. You can't show much emotion. You can't show much frustration. But obviously, like in a great moment, you can show some excitement, so.
Absolutely. So we talked about it a little bit earlier. We're 21-4, coming off of that game, coming off the game against FGCU. Vibe's got to be high right now. Why don't, what's the vibe like around the clubhouse right now? How are the boys feeling?
Boys are feeling great. We're having a great season so far, and we're just excited to play some more ball, and we're just like to keep going at it.
What are you where's your head at going into I think we go to Charlotte this weekend. Where's your head at with that one? Because in years past, they've played us very competitively. They've got a great coaching staff over there. They've got kids that can hit the ball. They've got a great 1-3 pitch starting rotation. So I think that personally, I think this is going to be, aside from UTSA, and maybe ECU if they continue to produce, it's probably going to be one of our more stiff competitions. It's coming pretty early in conference play. Tell me where your head's at with this matchup looming.
Just same heads mindset as the Rice game. It was just me attacking hitters, making sure I got my good stuff, making sure I'm all composed, calm. Trusting the defense is a big part of the game. You can never try to do too much, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Who, what team, or has there been a hitter or a specific team, thus far that you've just been like, damn, I can't get this guy out, or wow, this is a really tough team. What matchup have you, kind of, rings in the back of your head?
I feel like I've played very few games for that. There was, I think, a guy who had 2 hits off of me against UCF. That could have, it was like a low strikeout game. More so just like my defense rushing in the outfield, making good plays in the infield. But I feel like there's a couple guys who had, who was tough to get in UCF.
Yeah, we have a long-standing history with UCF, and I think one thing that all of us at Bruin want to make sure of is wanted to make sure of is that, you know, with it, with there being such high turnover, you know, so many new faces on the ball club, I was wondering how that rivalry would shine through without that history. But yeah, no, UCF is always plays us pretty tough, and that's good to hear. So right now, who would you say is the guy who keeps the clubhouse loose right now? Who's the funniest guy in the clubhouse?
There's quite a few guys. There's Carter Murph, there's Landon York. There's just a bunch of guys like Dawson Mock, Jay Green. We got Wampa, which there's like really half the team who's keeping the team loose, keeping it fun.
Who would you say are the biggest leaders on the roster right now?
Biggest leaders would be Bradkey Laurie, of course. Who else? I would say Jay Green as well.
Okay.
And Kula.
All right. All right, so you guys are in the clubhouse, pre-game, you know, trying to get the vibe right. Who are you not going to hand the ox to?
I mean, I'll probably say Nate Early, just because everyone else does. I'm in the locker room and I hear some music that is all right, and everyone's screaming Nate to get off. So I'll say Nate.
All right. What kind of music is Nate playing?
It's been a while. Been a while to remember. It's.
Because he hasn't had the ox in a while.
Yeah.
That's funny. We were talking a little bit earlier, and you said that you have a brother. Now let's go with the hypothetical. You know, if you did have a sister, who would you let on the team date your sister, and who is one player that you would not let go near your sister? Question we do every year, so it'll be fun, I promise.
I would let Eli Thomas
Okay.
date my daughter hypothetically, and I wouldn't let Mirza date my daughter.
Okay, I'm not going to ask why. We'll just keep it there. So we try to kick these player interviews off a little bit earlier in the season. We're a little bit late there, but we are definitely planning on doing more player interviews moving forward. Give us one to two teammates that you think we should have on the podcast, and tell us why.
We could do Jay Green.
Okay.
He's a cool, calm guy. I believe he likes to talk, and it's probably going to be a good interview with him. And another one would be probably Ryan Pruitt.
All right. Yeah, no, he was on my survey on who we getting everybody to try to guess who we were going to be interviewing. Pruitt would be a good one. Yeah, we got the chance to interview Bradkey last year, so that was also a lot of fun too. Are you rooming with anybody on the team?
Yeah, I room with Dom, Bryson and Jack, the team manager.
Okay, how's that been going? Who's
Going good. Vibes are there.
the best cook in the house?
I say Jack. He cooks himself meals. I like to just go to Argos or like Champs, but he usually does all the cooking here.
All right. So me personally, I'm a nerd, and I've been collecting baseball cards my whole life. Is that something that you ever did growing up?
I don't think so. I haven't really like gotten to the baseball card thing.
Like I said, I'm a nerd. It's all good. I'll talk to my therapist about it later. So who would you say is your favorite MLB player right now?
Definitely Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. I say less. Yeah. He's probably one of my biggest pieces of my collection. What is would you say of all time as well? It'd be hard to beat, I understand.
Yeah, I would say all the time. I mean, just his pitching and hitting together, it's incredible. So I just love to watch it.
Yeah, I got to see him the year that he was not pitching that year. I got to see him play live at Coors Field. Actually, him and Trout, I saw them play two games, Friday and Saturday. And dude, the sound off of his bat, Trout as well, but the sound off of Shohei's bat is just different. You know, there was a time that year, it was this game. Kyle Freeland, he's a left-handed pitcher, good little arm. He was pitching to him, and he threw him like a sweeper of some sort. And Shohei just hit this piss rod line drive that never went 13 feet off the ground, just straight out of the ballpark. And I was watching the replays the next day, and Kyle Freeland goes, "How the blank did you hit that?" That's just an anomaly. I'll tell you what, even though you don't collect baseball cards, I'm gonna find a way to get you at least one or two nice Shohei cards. And if you decide to start your collection based off that, cool. If not, cool.
Right.
What are your goals for this season? I know we're pretty well into it, but are there any goals for this season that you have etched in your mind? Are those goals kind of do they kind of evolve as the season goes on? And also, what should fans expect from this team, you know, for the next 3 months of the season?
Goals as a team is obviously make it to Omaha, try to win it all. We got to take it one game at a time, and the fans should just like see us as a hard fighting team who won't ever give up and just fight to live on for another day.
That's awesome, man. Well, that is about all that I have for this interview. I do really appreciate you joining us, Michael.
Yes, sir.
We wish you nothing but the best of the luck the rest of the way. For our listeners, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on any channel that you guys are listening to us on. And as always, go Bulls.
Thank you. Go Bulls.